Super.
Good morning, and today is 11 o'clock, and we're 11 a.m. It's the City Council Monthly Update in the BCC Conference Room. President or City Manager Aaron Kubik, Mayor Darren Fowler, Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Morgan, Commissioner Dion. So good morning.
Good morning.
Valerie sends her apologies. She had a medical emergency with her husband, so.
Sorry to hear that.
I know. He went in the ER Sunday, and they had a doctor's appointment follow-up today, so. She's like, yeah, I'm going. Yeah.
So was she in the ER?
No, he was.
Oh.
Bill was. Yeah. Something to do with his foot.
Well, unfortunately, there's been more of that lately. It's not fun growing older.
No.
And loved ones.
What do you know about it?
That my grandmother lives with me.
40 something else. Sure is a bit. There's no fun getting older.
As my 79-year-old grandmother lives with me?
Yeah, but that's not.
No.
Living inside the cage.
Well, and that's what I find, that God's sense of humor includes, like, as soon as your kids grow up, your parents grow old. It's like there's never a break.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, there's one thing that I'm an orphan, and you only have to do that once. I'm an orphan, and you only get to do that once.
But it wasn't even your choice. It just happened.
No, it's not. And you've all got to live through that. You all still have your parents. Simon lost his dad last year.
So
you have that
orphan
to look forward to. It's not going to be pleasant. But
no.
I'm an orphan. I will not have to do that again. So there's something to that.
That
anyway,
go through it once.
I went first off, just, and it's not on the subject matter of any kind, because I don't know what kind of subject matter we're going to talk about today, but that your trickle-down sign over there on F Street, E Street, that
the speed radar
your speed,
sign?
Your
yes.
speed
mm-hmm.
is 25, and
yep.
it works extremely
the same thing.
Well.
Yeah.
Extremely well.
That was the.
It wasn't a challenge to see how fast you can go?
No.
That's after 9. I checked my speedometer. 60.
Yeah.
That's not a challenge because it doesn't have 3 digits. It's only 2 digits.
Got it.
Well, it's an in-town challenge.
But it does have, that's a good, it's an expensive way to do it, but it did work. It was effective.
Yeah. I've heard that. I've heard people saying that as soon as they see that sign, they put the brakes on.
Yeah,
I found those work even better in schools, the school zones, when they have the speed up there and you know what you're going. Like
school zone, you are going.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can quantify that. I'm wrong.
Okay, so what have we got this morning?
Yeah, we should start with you guys since last time we talked the whole time.
Well, did Valerie get back to you on anything?
No, she
she's,
didn't have
she's
any,
pretty
she
busy.
Talked to me. She didn't have anything on,
okay.
to bring forward.
Okay.
And so, you know, just a follow-up from our last joint meeting, the CEDC will be meeting. We're going to go over SMART goals with them, and then we're going to outline what their objectives and tasks are in a format that we'll be able to provide and assign resources and tasks to individuals, departments, divisions, city, county. So we'll have a better understanding of what the list of items that they have.
Are they going to produce a timeline for that? That's my frustration, is that we continue to talk about the same stuff and with no timeline.
That will be part of it.
Okay.
You'll map out, hey, is this a short-term thing that we work on for 8 months and it's done and we hand it over to somebody, or is this something that is more long-range and it's going to be a two-year process? So that will all be defined in those SMART goals.
Yeah, one of my chief frustrations, I thought I silenced that, sorry. One of my chief frustrations is, like, our SDC task force that we did 5-7 years ago, they did some great work on their own, gave it to us, and then nothing happened.
And then nothing happened.
Nothing happened. We referenced it a couple times, and then that committee's like, if I get asked again, I'm not going to volunteer, because they didn't do anything with that. And so we're really trying to change that as a city, to do the formal motions from those committees and then act on them as a council, so that we're not like, well, you liaison didn't bring it, and the chair didn't bring it, and whose job is it?
Yeah.
And the whole reason for having the committee is to be effective and do this research we don't have time for.
One thing that I've seen with committees, too, is that you have to be very, very careful, is, you know, just for instance, like airport boards and all that other stuff, is that you go in there and micromanage what you've asked them to do. You're asking them for their opinion, and then when they give you their opinion, you go, well, no, this is what I want you to do. That, to me, you're not getting that cross-section that you're seeking. I want to hear what their ideas are and go from there rather than tell them what you're, this is how I want it all laid out, because why are they even meeting? If you're going to go in there and tell them that what they do is not correct and it's not the way you do it, then guessing you might as well do it your way, because they'll just drop off. They won't be there anymore because it's frustrating to them.
Yeah,
so, true. You know, I use the fair board. You know, I could go in there and probably discuss with the fair board what I think the fair ought to look like and then what their structure should look like and so on and so forth. But I just kind of led them to their own thing and just heard more than anything else. And it seemed to be working pretty good.
So the one piece that we were going to be talking about at that meeting and we never really got to because of time was the makeup of the CEDC.
Mm-hmm.
And as it is right now, we have 20 people on there, including staff and liaisons and such. But as far as looking at, do we want to continue to have the county pick five, the city to pick five, and then chamber gets one, so-and-so gets one, CJ gets one, the school districts and all that kind of stuff. I know that was something that was asked about, is looking at, is this the right group? Do we have the right, we wanted everyone to be included, but is it too much?
Well, I know Councillor Flaming had a real concern with the amount of people that's on it. However, if you look comprehensively at the whole CEDC task, it's huge. So instead of all the whole bunch of them looking at the whole thing, is there five things that kind of join at the hip and you put a smaller group on that? You know, like this sewer system out there. If there's, you know, that should be the schools, it should be, you know, some people from the airport and so on and so forth. But does it really need to be Hidden Valley High School principal on that? I don't know whether you can group it together. It's kind of like when the previous commissioners had that huge, what did you call that? It was when they lumped all of the private property things, the nuisance ordinances, into one. That's too big for anybody to swallow all at once, and it's too big for anybody to actually get anything done. But when you break it out, as we've done with three or four items, and you handle those one at a time, or you put a group in charge of that, they can concentrate on that and focus on that, then bring it to the whole group, then bring it to the CEDC. I don't know whether that can be done, because, you know, there's a whole bunch of different projects involved here. But if you've got to try to be expert in all of them, you're going to be expert in none of them. And then I don't know if they'll ever get done. Does that make any sense, what I said,
yeah,
or not?
Where it's a natural fit, like you said, when you're focusing on the North Valley sewer district, mm-hmm, or water enhancement, whatever it all is, but that whole area has an ability to be in one group,
mm-hmm,
and not involve the Cave Junction representative.
There's people of the 15 that say, you know, I'm really interested in that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Let them take that and run with it. If they want to be on that, you know, it's going to be a five-person thing.
Well, Aaron's kind of taking it on as a personal project. Although he got forced into it. And wants to really help get it back on track. And I think certainly has the ability. And so I suggest we wait and see what comes out of that first couple of meetings and see if you guys have the direction you hope for.
Mm-hmm.
That you have some end zones that you can get to. Like we've been saying, we don't want a committee for the sake of a committee. We really need to know what to focus on and if there's money available in either one of our future for that.
To refine that focus, I put out two proposed criteria elements. There's an additional one that I said that I didn't iterate in that list. It's what nobody else is working on. I don't need somebody who knows nothing about the history of the North Valley Industrial Sewer System to come in and say, I have an interest in that. You have an interest in the product. You'd like to see it done. You have very little, I would imagine, any person on that committee has very little substantive to add to the discussion unless they know of a funding stream or a grant or have built a sewer system. I got all sorts of people that are all stocked up with every other element of the portfolio. The same thing for transportation. Transportation is important. You want a bus route that serves your business somewhere or something like that. But we've got hosts of experts and subcommittees of, you know, transportation as it relates to every other element. So I'm looking, for me, that charge of this is, there's a whole host of things out there that nobody's addressing, that somebody should, and that's what this group should probably focus on. Because otherwise, it's not within their wheelhouse of their expertise.
So like identifying the unaddressed.
Broadband, right, for me, is probably one of those things that, you know, Commissioner Morgan's addressing. Yeah. But there isn't a regional group that is spearheading some sort of a proposal to evaluate regionally what's the infrastructure, what's the deficit. I know that SoRedi touted 5 or 6 years ago that we have 10 times the national average of online businesses in Josephine County.
Wow.
We need to be making sure that those businesses have adequate broadband infrastructure.
Well, didn't,
and yet, where it's moving is actually towards the 5G network, which will require, make the broadband is that, but the fiber that has been the push is going to be obsolete.
So how do we
get
this committee?
Yeah, that's, I was just getting ready to bring that up. How do we stay ahead of that curve by the time we're talking about...
I'm suggesting you assign that to them. See, we always want to solve it. That's not our job. That's their task.
It's our nature.
So it is our nature, but it's the wrong thing to do. How to give them that, this is your job.
You go, you research it and see what's the latest and greatest in state
and
of the
you
art.
You make a proposal
edge,
and says,
and then bring
the
that
city
back
and the county could upgrade their
we got other things on our plate.
With $150,000 a piece by putting in 3 more cell phone towers or something like that to provide 5G continuity of service everywhere in this general region.
Yeah, here's a huge hole that you guys could fill. Yeah.
We do that.
Yeah. Let them
so
do the research.
That's
on
really,
that where you're getting
really
that.
Tangible.
It is.
I like that.
And it's nobody, I mean, I'm not saying nobody, because it's Commissioner Morgan, but that's the person who should spearhead, you know, go to that committee and say, here are my deficits. This is what I need to know.
Yeah. And the reality is because it's not a utility, what it really is right now is private commercial
private
operation. It's private sector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when do we mesh, when do we not? Is there a funding that we can provide that they don't have access for that we can then pass on? Or does that, are we in the way? Because if there was money to be made, you know the infrastructure would be there.
Right.
And since there's not, when does government supplement versus allow it to be the natural course?
Or free up impediments for the private sector to go do.
If you could identify the areas where they're lacking.
Get out of the way. And what
one, two, and three would fix it.
What would be the impact of our two governments becoming on it? We may be the interest that they need, us getting on a 5G network, and they go, whoa, now we've got a huge customer. It's not just sporadic little company. It's not, but it, you've got two government entities that want to get on the 5G system. I don't know how 5G, it doesn't mean anything to me.
It's radio frequency, so it's going to be...
Tinfoil helmet.
Right.
But
that's
I
another,
think
something else. I don't know what else there is out there. I'm thinking
right. It's just an example.
You guys have a tourism deal. We're working on something else as well. But I really see. I've been touting this for 8 years. The viticulture industry just seems sort of disparate. They're not really organized in a fashion that I see. You know, the Applegate, Illinois Valley.
What is viticulture?
Wine.
Wine.
Wine. Okay.
So getting that all organized from a tourism based, you know. Who's doing that and what do they need help with?
Napa Valley is the Napa Valley wine group is not this group. It's marketed as come to the Napa Valley.
Exactly.
And that's what you're saying.
We are not doing that as effectively, I think, as we should. Umpqua Valley is.
They are.
Billboard.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, let's just implement, what are they doing that we should be doing well? And there is a group, Southern Oregon Wine Association, but they might need help. You know, they may need a John Bowen to come alongside them. I don't know. But that's another. We should be the people assigning this group deficit things that we see in the community that are not being done by somebody else, that are an opportunity to raise the economy. I see broadband as being one priority. I think the viticulture has still a lot of room to grow.
Especially with Napa Valley being destroyed, most of it being destroyed by fire, it's going to take them some years to rebound, and we could probably fill that void if we're on it now.
I think we have a lot more to offer than Umpqua with the proximity to Jacksonville and stuff. I don't...
Shakespeare?
Yeah, there's a little whole opportunity for, you know, weekend types of events that aren't just wine and stuff. Mm-hmm. Up there, what else do you do? You know, wildlife safari, I guess, and that's about it. But we could brand ourselves in a better way. Mm-hmm. So.
I do think you're right, and maybe there are things that they would come up with that we're not missing too. The one thing that came out of there, like Shauna Bland is the careers person at Grants Pass, she said, why on some of these issues do we not put it back to the high schoolers to see if there's a solution they can help provide? If they see the issues in the community, they want to be a part of the solution. What if there was land put aside for tiny homes for dealing with veteran housing or homeless housing or something like that? And the high schools can partner and build the tiny homes. And then they have class credit or something like that. Or they came up with a suggestion and the partnership there. It's something that came out of because she was in this group, but not necessarily just acknowledging there's a housing issue. We all know that. So this group coming up with it when there's another committee.
Okay. Yeah, it's a little tangential to me. I see that it's got, you know, a nexus, but it's...
Well, and also we need to get those young people, students, high school and college, exposure to the local job market that is so cool that people don't even know about it. They think there's no opportunity here and they have to go to McDonald's, but that is so not true anymore. With some sort of 2-week internship or exposure or apprenticeship, whatever you want to call it, where you, the summer between your junior and senior year or sophomore and junior year, you could actually go look at a couple of cool businesses around the valley that have opportunities, instead of like, well, my opportunity is college and I got to get out of here. It's just that, no, you, there's ways that you can stay now if we were able to expose them to the cool career opportunities that are here now. We're missing that.
Aaron and I did a careers day thing that I thought went off very well.
You know, on the
two different pathways, and you know, for instance, you know, how does the water in the drinking fountain in the back of this room be so pure? I says, it comes out of the river and it's the color of a cardboard box. What happens between there and there? That's part of it. If you've got an interest in mechanics and science and chemistry, bang, there's your spot right there. Then it's got to be pure when you dump it back in the river. All of that has to happen, but a lot of people just don't even, they don't consider that. And if we had an apprenticeship program, not apprenticeship, but like, say, an intern program, just like we had two out of the three people that we gave the 10-year pin for through Public Works started through the temp agency.
Yeah.
Chief Landis, he started as a reserve in public safety.
That's a great story.
I started as a juvenile delinquent, majored in juvenile delinquency my senior year. Came out of there just really well. And yet there is a pathway for that person. Mm-hmm. There is a pathway. Aaron gave how he got to be where he is, and then I said how I got to where I want to be.
Right.
But the main thing is, if you need to do some things you don't want to do ever again, and then you educate yourself to never have to go do that again, like bucking hay for 2 cents a bale or working in a mill. Those are the things. That's the message we had. I thought it was a pretty good message. Pretty good message for young
people.
Don't
discount those early jobs. I think you did. I don't think you were, but I think you meant. I felled some trees for a neighbor and set some chokers this weekend.
And I told him never
that
was gonna
the
do
best.
That.
Yeah. Doing that for my dad when I was a kid was the best incentive to do something.
I worked in a mill for two summers. I worked in a mill for two summers, and I realized that I didn't want to continue on to do that, and then I bucked hay for one summer. I was in timber country, never getting a job in a mill. Boy, you got all kinds of money. They were driving new GTOs and stuff because of the money they made in the mill, but I didn't want to go back there. So that's the key.
Part of the plan for economic development relies on us, and I mentioned over there that the county doesn't have a countywide strategic plan, and I think that's a deficit of ours that needs something. It would be advantageous for them to be familiar with what it is that the county's doing and know that these things are going on, so they're not duplicating that effort, and then they could probably outline some of the holes a little bit better. But it comes to mind for the urban renewal, I know that there's the time to be thinking about it is now, and where is that in the city, and how is it that the county can be an instrumental partner there's a significant portion, I would probably say, just kind of lowering my eyes, on your urban renewal district, that 10% of it is probably county-owned property. Do you have the number about how many acres are included in that? I could do it much better if I...
I do, well, it's 18% okay. of
yeah.
our, yeah, I don't,
right.
I don't have
1.2
the,
square
yeah,
miles,
yeah.
I don't know that.
Right.
Yeah. But I bet it's close. So from that perspective, we have, we'd love to sit down. I know the fair is getting ready to sign, dot the T's and cross the I's on their plan, but the county really hasn't engaged
right.
in that.
And for people coming in, aren't they, isn't that something they're going to ask for? Does the county have a strategic plan? Does the city have a strategic plan before I move in here?
I've been meaning to write one. I really have. I've read a half a dozen of our neighboring and sometimes competitive counties. They're good, you know.
My recommendation is we would do a facilitated strategic plan goal setting at the beginning of the year and bringing in all the electeds and department heads. I've heard there's local facilitators that can help with that, but
Jen?
The recommendation was a Cheryl Johnson, who works at RCC now, but was a professional facilitator, but works in the president's office. But the opportunities maybe
Jan, what was
Carruthers?
Yeah. No, she's not local, and I wouldn't bring her back. But the idea being that. Everybody be a part of it and on board.
Yeah,
and
CJ City Council, Grants Pass City Council.
Yeah,
and they have to ask the right questions and be knowledgeable about it. So anyway, that's another thing. The urban renewal is key for me. That we've got something on the books as far as
what that looks like.
Yeah.
It's a 30-year plan, so I mean that's out there a ways.
Yeah, it is. It's still in
its
infancy, and there's
so many. Got some launching potential, though.
It does. There's a lot of competing projects out there, and council has prioritized some of those, and we're working on the prioritized ones right now, and making progress slowly on that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think in 5 years it'll have the money to do some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to
more.
Hunt and peck a few ones early,
yeah.
But then you'll start getting into some of the rich area of that. Agency.
Yeah.
But why didn't we include you guys in some of that? Since you do have a property investment.
I would have seen the Demick campus as being that blighted area of the community that, you know, is a little bit outside of that corridor. But
does it have to be contiguous?
No.
No, it doesn't.
No. Could amend it with that.
That would have been a.
Yeah. Is that one moving at all, or is it sitting languishing?
It's languishing a little bit, but we're working on divesting ourselves of that footprint so that it can.
Right.
We're doing a tour on Thursday with.
We're trying to hurry on the cop shop.
So, yeah, all of those things are just, you know, moving pieces on a puzzle. So.
Well, everything seems to have such a good trajectory, though,
in
our city and our county.
The foundations are solid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we scraped them clean.
that
gave us a foundation to start with.
On another subject, but city-related, I relayed to Aaron, Mr. Kubik, that I was having lunch on G Street the other day, and just the bicycle ped, the enforcement of speed during the lunchtime hour, or really any time on G Street. It's not very long, and I know you guys have public service officers or whatever, but it's crazy, the types of traffic that happens there. I've seen myself in Salem or anywhere else on the coast, or McMinnville or someplace else, nice little Jacksonville, Ashland. They aren't allowing that kind of traffic on G Street to that degree. That it's a 20-mile-an-hour zone where there's four crosswalks within 300 feet. It just, it seems, I've wanted to petition the city personally, and maybe I do that after, you know, 70 days or whatever. It shouldn't be 20. It should never be that people need to go 20 down that thoroughfare. And that there's some sort of a plan on the books to make it a one-way to where people are coming in. Thanks for visiting, but we're not going to let you leave that way. You know, you got to go somewhere else just so that it's, a reduced potential of something not going well there.
I think, like on First Fridays, if you try to maneuver G Street on First Friday in a car, forget it.
Yeah.
So is there a possibility of just saying, okay, that section of town is just, it's closed to vehicle traffic during First Friday?
Good.
Then people can wander back and forth and get that courtyard feel, but at the same time, you open it up for day-to-day traffic,
sure.
Isn't a bad deal.
You can do
but
that.
Boy, when you get your Friday nights and you get your events down there, they close it during Back to the 50s because they have that whole section of town
yeah.
is closed off. We close the next street off for Art Along the Rogue, and nobody mm-hmm. seems to care. But First Fridays is huge, and that's 12 times a year, and it's tough to get through there, and I see what you're talking about. I pulled into the Grand the other day, and a bus pulled in behind me. All these people got out of the bus. I mean, I'm just trying to back up to get in the parking structure.
Yeah.
And I walked out, and I said, okay, attention, everybody. Do I have your attention? I'm getting ready to get in this truck, and I'm going to back up. I'm going to remind you that you have way more control over your feet than I do that truck. So get the hell out of my way. And they did. Yes, sir, we got it. And they were directing traffic and stopping people out in the street so I could get in the parking truck. But
three,
that is.
Three bicycles that rode down the sidewalk while I was having
and skateboards. Mm-hmm.
And there was two nice little old ladies in front of, goodness gracious, and they almost got taken out by this guy.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't have been there. And
it
should be
not supposed to ride
$100 fine or whatever.
No, but there's no one out to enforce it.
We have
they're
people
busy.
Out enforcing.
No, I know, but I'm saying, but the prioritization of calls, that's just a matter of, are you guys still doing the downtown foot patrol?
We are. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I think during the lunch hour in G Street area, H and 5th would be a nice addition.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it?
The priority
like our nuisance intervention team, you could have the lunch accident prevention team.
I think once the vice, the offenders, that's probably the same 20 people or whatever that are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Once the word gets out there, they will stay out of that area.
Mm-hmm. But I really like having the good activity pushing against.
Yes.
Because it has changed.
It is. People are filling the seats, filling
mm-hmm.
the chairs, filling the tables out there. They
yeah.
should be able to sit there and somewhat peace.
Yeah, I watched it happen in Riverside. As soon as we put in the spray ground,
mm-hmm.
It changed the dynamic at that playground and what was going on around it.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden there was 100 more eyes looking out and looking out for kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was way cool. I took my grandson and we got wet.
I remember us arguing that however many years ago.
Well, we did.
Was
you've been
take back the park. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And take back that park.
Take back that park.
You say SR?
What?
You said somebody years ago. I thought you said a group.
Oh.
City
I remember
council.
Arguing that at City Council
oh, okay.
when they wanted to put it at the All Sports Park. And
uh-huh.
I'm like, why would you do that?
Yep.
Let's take back that park.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, we don't want to use that because of homeless. No.
Nope.
We're going to take back that park for a community family
mm-hmm.
situation.
That is our flagship. And I think once we get the observation deck and that done and Caveman Bridge done, guess what? This maybe was a perfect year for smoke because it kept our tourism down. If there could ever be a plus side to it. And because on the car show, it was way down, and people, friends of mine from the Bay Area, they said, our whole group canceled because of the smoke. And I said, well, you didn't really miss much because we were under construction on
yeah.
so many different places. They want to stay at the Riverside, and they don't want construction
we'll
going on all night long.
Year.
So all those needle guns are done, and I think next year, this place is really going to look well. It's going to look really, really good. So that's kind of a good thing.
Well, good segue.
Transportation element, I fear that we're going to keep languishing on the ability to really have momentum with ODOT in a positive way. I think we've talked about putting together like an ODOT transportation focused Josephine County task force. Why do we need to get their permission to create Josephine County Act? I don't think we do.
Right.
I think we create it on our own and we show that it's the right thing for ODOT to do because how effective it is. And so this came to me this weekend that we could create our own act, maybe not endorsed by ODOT, but you know it plays with RV Act, but it's our own committee of people who meets with ODOT on a quarterly basis and tries to affect real change. We set our own priorities and we estimate what our portion of
right.
RVX should be. We go to Matthew Garrett, and I bet if we invited him down here once or twice a year or something, he would probably come. I know he was happy to have it on.
He will probably push back at first because he pushed back on the last one. But I think we have stayed, we've waited our 2.5 years or 3 years and said, we're gonna play nice and see how it works out.
Yeah.
How has it worked out? It hasn't worked out at all.
I don't think so. So
was there a follow-up meeting?
Yeah.
As far as a letter was sent, this is what our expectations were. We want the follow-up meeting, and some of you guys were going to be attending it. Did that happen?
Brandis and I are setting up. We're going to put all the people that are on RV Act, and we're going to, and I think we need to take it for Gold Hill, Rogue River, and this way of Blackwell Hill. Not just county
Raid
by
the
county.
MPO, yeah.
Yeah, just follow the MPO's footprint.
Sure.
Because they've got the same
as
issues
CJ.
We have. So,
yeah.
And Brandis is putting it together. We're going to, the ACT members, the ACT representatives, and we're going to sit down at a table and see if this is a possibility, I think, to do exactly what you're saying. And we'll go from there. But I...
we have been talking about that idea of having that meeting.
Right.
For
and that's coming together.
A little while.
So we're going to have, we're going to have
we
that.
We should, because like, I still haven't seen the landscape draft plan, and that's one of the first things we asked for. Hey, they said they were offering that they're already working on it without telling us.
Well, they said it would be done by the end of
October.
End of October, so we've got a little
bit.
No, I think it was end of September.
Yeah,
I thought it was
one of those.
I thought it was September.
It says it right in the letter of when we expected to set up a meeting afterwards.
That's why I'm wondering, just did
it
we follow up?
Is it scheduled? Yeah. You and Brandis want to chase that down?
Yeah.
See about getting the meeting set up?
Yeah, we'll get that all put together. When we're talking, they say there's no money at all for our
three
third lane.
Lane.
I want to know what the contingency is on the 62 bypass. Because if it's anything like it normally is, I'll bet you it's 25 to 30 million.
Yeah, I was thinking at least 20.
And if it is, that's where we're going to say, well, we don't have any money. I think we need to be in queue to say when that contingency comes back, because that project is going to be complete in the next probably 6 months.
Yeah,
it'll be done, and that's when that contingency is going to come back to the ACT. And if we're not there, they'll spend it somewhere else.
I feel
that's when we want
that's
money.
One piece of the puzzle, but we have to set up the whole thing, and we write the OTC and tell them this is our shortcoming. This is the most major thing in Josephine County, and we're being told that it's 10 years out. It's totally unacceptable, and we're not standing for it. What an example. The OTC should be hearing things like this.
Is Susan Morgan, she was on the OTC, wasn't she?
She's not anymore.
But I know she's not anymore. But
Tammy is for the next 70 days.
Yeah.
Could we reach out to her and say, this is what we're thinking? What would the OTC think about this?
Yep.
Well, we've got to go to the meetings and talk to them. I've been to a couple a few years ago, but I haven't been lately.
I brought up the CMAQ funds to the Undersecretary or Assistant Secretary of Transportation when I was out there last week or the week before, and specifically how our hands are tied when it comes to expansion of current projects versus new projects only. And they said, we're working on changing that. You should be able to do expanding projects next year.
Hmm.
That's huge.
Yeah, that
would
be a huge turn.
Huge. I think that's been a frustration of the MPO all along.
Yeah.
Yep.
You give us the MPO, and we've got, and especially if they pull back Allen Creek, there's $2.4 million in Allen Creek alone that goes back to the MPO. Now we've got $6 million in there and change.
Oh, man. We've got to be able, especially with the small amounts that we're given, you can't bite off the huge project. It has to be complementary or fits better. When it's complimentary,
you have to be able to do that project for $2 million.
What's that?
I just don't understand. You have to be able to do one lane.
Yeah,
Brandis ran it. We did a scoping, and we put $300,000 for traffic for the traffic light. There's only one mechanized traffic light in the whole place, and that's at Ringgat. It's the only traffic control device you have, and it came out to $130. To do the paving on the outbound lane, which is the expensive lane.
Yeah.
It was $130, and then we added another $1 million in contingencies and the traffic light and engineering, so it came out to a little over $2.5 million for the outbound lane.
Right.
The inbound lane, there's nothing there. It's just...
Yeah, it's grass.
And there's no land acquisition.
Yeah.
The whole thing is so ridiculous,
aside.
It's just not even funny. I don't think we're getting a good answer out of... And I said it.
Well, we are. We're getting the answer they want to give us.
They want to give us, right.
They said
don't want to do it.
22, though. You said 10 years, so. 4 or 5 years out.
10 to 12 years is what they said on their
report. That's when
report.
They start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a 4-year project.
Yeah.
They don't get anything done overnight.
No.
If they start talking about it in 22.
Yeah, you're right.
It'll be a long time. So we need to.
But
talk
if we get on that.
Well, talk about congestion mitigation. Talk about.
Yeah, right.
Come
that's
on.
That's the single most.
Yeah, this is how it looks. I think. Textbook.
It's good.
Well, if they need it to be a new project, put a barrier and say, okay, this is our, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
This is our new 199 overpass or bypass. We're going to call it a bypass
just
project. It
wouldn't take much.
But I think we could, that needs to be the big thing. I have yet to figure out, I have never heard on anybody's radar this bulb out program for 6th and 7th Street. And they're up there. Knife River is surveying that today.
So one of the things, the benefits of having this
no-code
is you assign with ODOT, here are our priorities. What are yours? Oh, I don't want you doing anything in Josephine County unless this group has said, no, that's not, it's not a priority. Why are you spending $1 million on that?
Where's their traffic study and accident report that says the bulb outs are going to fix anything?
That group is the group to put it together and ask those hard questions.
Yeah.
And I think that's where our act would be, have some power.
Had it in July or August. So before the end of the month, that group gets together.
Love to.
I think that's very.
Maybe next week. I keep saying that at the end of the month is going to happen.
It's
next week,
right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Halloween. Did you buy any candy yet?
No.
I'll get a hold of Brandon.
So
today,
if
find
you
out
have a grandkid that maybe likes to do that, I know a certain house, not mine, but near there, that passes out full size bars.
I love it.
Just saying.
Is that a Micah Morgan?
That would be.
My
she goes
wife,
to Costco and gets full size every year.
My wife decided she's going to go to California for 11 days starting the 30th. I said, that means you put trick or treating on my plate? I bought the candy.
Oh. That's love and trust.
Swell. That's really swell, honey.
I see the M and the Parkway property across from the water as a challenge. That.
What's that?
The M and Parkway property.
The privately owned piece of property?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What would it take to get that developable?
It is already, traffic-wise. It's just burying that ditch.
Bury that ditch.
Yeah.
Because it's an odd-shaped piece.
4 foot.
Yeah, but you could put 2-somethings in there.
Yeah.
We need to do something.
Got amazing visibility.
Yes.
I think he's hanging on to it because he likes the the signs.
No, he's trying to move it. He
is
wants
he?
To get out of
oh.
it.
Oh.
Where did you guys pick for the water plant? I thought I saw in the paper or heard in
walking.
A... Oh, I thought something said it was picked.
No,
it's really close.
Was the paper misreporting?
They didn't say
what?
Specifically. They
no.
said they were saying the
I'm
skate
sorry.
Park.
I'm sorry. Let me
they
take that back.
They were saying the skate park. And
okay.
Yeah.
And it was
that was an
like,
original consideration.
Got it. And I was
yeah.
trying to figure out where they were saying because they did say northwest of.
Yeah,
of the current
or mill.
Yeah.
Or of the plant. You're right. Yeah, because we were looking at that and where Masterbrand moved. Because they bought that property.
Yeah.
Well, so that kind of shut that one down.
Yeah, it was northwest or southeast, and we didn't do the southeast, which was the industrial site. So now we're looking primarily northwest area. Maybe that's what they were reporting on.
Well, and that was, so it sounded like you guys had
but there's,
picked a
there's,
spot.
No, there's 4 properties that in the northwest area that we're considering.
Yeah.
I just wonder if there's something the city can put together as a prospectus that these are what we're going to require to help facilitate development of that. Really valuable piece of property, and I don't know if we can buy culvert. It's probably not culvert that you have to put in there. It's probably concrete.
Yeah, channel or something.
Something.
Yeah.
So,
that would survive earthquake readiness.
I don't know if we could buy it wholesale, you know, as a public entity, and then resell it, or I don't know. But whatever could be done creatively to.
Do you have any idea on the cost on that?
I heard 6 and change.
Oh yeah.
Seems pretty high, but.
That's what he wants for. What would it, I guess? Do we have any idea what it would take? Can you ask Bobby Copeland what it's going to take to fill that culvert in? To fill in that ditch
yeah.
and just say, give us a you know.
Might be worth print. Asking. I know that there was issue with acquisition with the lights there, as far as assessed value and price negotiated issues.
Do you think like? Are you saying? What do you mean?
Assessed isn't the right term. When
I'm still hung up on acquisition. What do you mean by that?
As far as desired cost versus actual value?
Oh.
Well, I know that
there was
the
discrepancy
traffic problem
when
was solved. Home Depot solved it for him.
But in that process, when land was taken, there was not agreement on the price.
No, because
oh, no, he held their feet.
He wanted $152 a foot, and the going market was $20. He just he
and
thought
he knew
he,
they had
he
to have it, so
he
held out.
ODOT over a barrel, and he was going to break it off in Home Depot. That's
so
what
he doesn't. The owner wouldn't owe on the improvements of the infrastructure because
for the traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, traffic. No. I don't think he was part of it.
I don't know. I wouldn't be able to say. I'd have to look.
I think defining these things for this owner would be in everybody's best, you know, if we can, what is the traffic?
Eligible commercial property that
yeah.
could be developed that's in our best interest as a community to build economy opportunities.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't showcase really well when you've got, you know, a booming community, but you've got fallow
empty lots.
Ground right there on prime.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that we've talked about with
define
where
the
Winco
barriers.
Is. If you entered Grants Pass from that end of town, by the time you got to 7th Street, you would say, I'm in a community that doesn't want development. If that huge piece of property over there by Home Depot, foul. All the stuff up there behind Sherry's Restaurant, foul. You got the where the
yeah.
all the land over there behind Dutch Brothers, foul. Those are prime pieces of property, and they're empty. And by the time you get to 7th Street, you'd go, these folks don't want development around here. That's why that hasn't happened. They're in the way of it. That's the only conclusion they would have without even getting out of the car.
I just wanted to
Sorry.
Raise it as an issue that I thought would be in everybody's best interest to see.
Maybe we ought to have Susan forward. Equipped to go talk to him and say, hey.
Laura
we,
as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, to see if...
So
if
no,
he's
what
ready
if,
to
or
move, yeah.
Add,
what's
add
your barriers?
Or whatever.
What can we do as a city to help you
there's hesitation
cut down
because
those poles?
It isn't well defined.
Right.
This is the right time.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
So,
what yeah. would, on switching topics, emergency management, we have staff hired and looking at starting to try to put together kind of just what to do with the city. So Aaron, are you going to continue to be the contact person?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Sarah, reach out to you as far
yeah,
as...
Yeah, we have a meeting, or I think already established for next week or something like
perfect.
That.
Perfect. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we also, separate then, we also have created a job description for education outreach coordinator. The big thing is how much can we equip the community to be prepared?
So
and those
we don't
partners.
Have to.
Correct. We're not going to be able to provide for everybody's needs. What can we do to help them be as knowledgeable and prepared? Getting churches developed as sites for evacuation resources, getting schools equipped that if something happens during the day and the kids are there, how are the kids
civic
being
groups.
Trained?
Civic groups.
Civic mm-hmm. groups, volunteer organizations. The intent is to reach out to all of those in an education process. And then the rest of the staff would continue developing the plans and helping the get those pieces in place. So who are our partners that will respond in this to help us? Who are we, you know, that kind of stuff.
I think it fits really well into the board's inherited goal of a COOP, a COOP. You guys inherited this goal 2 years ago because we've had it on the books for 8 years.
Yeah, it's one
well,
of many plans.
I like the outreach.
Operations plans.
I like the outreach program thing as Commissioner Morgan described it because number one, it's going to take the load away from everybody. Rather than everybody saying, what is my government going to do to me? There will be this buffer of people in the church go, I can go to my church, or I can go. There will be other places for them to go, rather than calling Mayor Fowler or calling Eric Hughes, what do I do now? And keep them, I think, diversify that away, disperse that so that the government doesn't become every hangnail I have, I go to the government. And that's where we need to get rid of that. Outreach program to me is so valuable along that aspect to get people to say, you know what, if it really hits the fan, I'm not as bad off as I'm a little bit prepared. I really don't need to run to my government right now to find out because we're going to be plenty busy with other things. So the best thing is I love that outreach program. I think that's so valuable
to
our
total
overall picture of emergency repair.
Of defense. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to the emergency coordinator, I forgot her name.
Sarah.
But how I'm not really concerned about the 2 and 3 day event, that we're out of power or mm-hmm. whatever, or we have a little bit of flooding, or we have a threat of fire, we're pretty good at dealing with those and people don't get all panicky. It's when we have that, you know, unlikely event of a terrorist attack that knocks out the Northwest grid, where we're out for 12 days or worse.
Or 12 months.
Yeah, or a month or 12 months, that then they're going to be knocking on the government's door. Yeah. Why weren't you prepared for this? Why didn't you have any kind of plan in place?
So that's something that we're being asked at the statewide to look at, is identifying fuel locations of essential mm-hmm, services, mm-hmm. getting those locked, who has access. Mm-hmm. So there's
or even agreements with Colvin or whatever it is.
Yeah, but
do you?
We do.
Nice.
But statewide, that's some of the stuff that is it Brian Boquist, I think, is the senator up north, has been kind of pushing, and he's a long-term military and kind of and helping with that kind of stuff. So just some of the stuff on the horizon. But mm-hmm. that's that outreach position is more than you guys were aware potentially that we were able to do. And so
that's
we
awesome.
Believe it's an important commitment for us in the community to be a part of.
Very, very important, I think.
And that would pay to having a joint maintenance facility, county, city, mm-hmm. even ODOT or whoever else nearby, because then you could have a
storage facility
yeah, exactly. that's not public, and then you could keep your vehicles going, all of your police, all your fire rescue, all that stuff.
There's still a potential for that, just depending on how we put it together. I was contacted by the folks that purchased the property we would have been interested in, saying they would still be interested in helping facilitate that for us.
Oh, wow.
As far as if there's a way we can identify that what our need is and let them know. So,
well, because that uncorks a few things, like the fairgrounds potential.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a linchpin to a lot of shuffling of priorities and places and opportunities.
There's a lot of stuff out there around that fairgrounds that needs to go somewhere. And you've got some prime property right down there with your maintenance shop that needs to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
ODOT's property, beautiful property that needs to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And I envision a private sector garage that has 7 different invoices. And when you take in a sheriff's car to them to get something done, they fill it out to the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
But it's private sector stuff, so you don't get involved in PERS, you don't get involved in any of the long range stuff.
Well, let's
and you
wait
get to
talk about those things.
Yeah, we don't know necessarily where that's at yet, but
there's a lot of options.
But see the potential.
I'm glad to hear they have you guys have a meeting set up, because I want to make sure that we're on that with you guys, and especially with our one staff person. The assistant is officially on board November 1st.
Great.
Had her for a week. She's gone for a couple back. I mean, it was kind of this mixed thing. But full time with us starting on the 1st.
That's cool. I had a minor thing that's come up. I discussed it briefly with Simon Hare, Commissioner Hare. Stopped by the rummage sale out at Selma at the old elementary school, the Selma Community Center,
mm-hmm.
and they had some board turmoil 18 months ago or a year ago where they were all very frustrated, but now they've got some fresh blood in there and they're wanting to get off the ground, and we were looking at the blue box. How come there's a bathroom here?
I left them a message 2 weeks ago of how do we help them with the water pump.
Yeah, they're working on it. Me and Judy went out there a couple times now, my wife, and are working on getting a letter of ask and getting some estimates together, because they have a well that's not working and that was arsenic laden.
Oh.
And so they want to maybe repair that one to do landscape watering, but then drill another well. They have a roof that's leaking and they have a brand new floor underneath it, and so they have a couple of items, and I said, we just got to get some estimates and organize the information.
I'm glad to hear that.
Ask about using some of the money from the sale of the county building.
It came up last night at the first meeting of the city council on workshopping, appropriating the funds that have been appropriated for the lighting, security, and landscaping.
Oh, uh-huh.
So the budget, there's still resources there.
Yeah.
Anywhere between $50,000 and $100,000. So
I brought it up to the board a few weeks ago, to the board, and but I have not been able to get a call back. They're only open 1 to 4, and I've left messages on their phone, and haven't got a call back to get specifically what that invoice would be of what the cost would be, so we can help. They had told me it was $5,000 for a pump, it sounds like there may be some other things involved.
Yeah, there's a couple, there's like four or five things, and I said, well, you need to prioritize which ones you need first, you need to attach some cost to them, and then do an ask, and we'll help you get there. And so just an early bug in your ear that they're working on it. We got people heading out to do estimates, and so it's moving.
Yeah.
And I think once the community sees a little movement on it, that they could have some more buy-in and get some more help.
That totally fits within the charge. It was not just City of Cave Junction, it's the Illinois Valley, and it's capital assets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was telling them. This is a great opportunity.
It's perfect.
Yep, nice fit. So
get it done right.
Yeah, and they seem to be have a little hope in their eyes.
Good.
Which is good. That they might pull it off. Yeah, those are great communities out there, and the more time I spend, it's just no wonder you're a good Southern Oregon fit. Love it.
Yep. Well, anything else for the good of the order?
Good of the order? Been hearing good jokes lately? Went to the OTC thing the other day. That was interesting. ONC, excuse me.
I was going to say, yeah.
The ONC deal the other day. That's a very interesting group.
What did they talk about?
Well, they talked about all kinds of stuff, you know, and one of the things is the 12 million board feet that were allowed to cut in the ONC. You know, and you say, wow, 12 million board feet, you know, but what did they take away? That's part of their strategy. Is the progressive movement decides they're going to take everything away, and just forgot about it. It's been 40 years before they have anything meaningful cut on ONC land. So they give you back 12, and you go, wow, but they took away 188, according to the ONC Act, is 200 million board feet to sustain the health of the forest, and they're going to give you 12, and they think, yeah, well, we gave you 12, so aren't you happy? No, we're not happy.
Well, and then they put onerous barriers on those 12. To where it's tough for a logger to go, hey, I can make money at that.
But I think the ONC, they're going to be a very important group in this administration. You know, as long as Mr. Trump is in there, and he's having some pushback to the environmental community and to regulation. And I think that's going to be very valuable going forward. So.
Yeah.
Well, at one point we were giving $1 million to each school district. Out of the funds and proceeds, so I mean, it's still relevant. Our lawsuits are still going. This group is an advocacy for us. It's not a, are they a 501c3 or something like that? They're officially a...
Yeah, they're, I couldn't tell you exactly offhand.
But not a government agency, but they are an association.
They're just a membership organization.
There you go. I have one question I should throw out, just because I don't know when our next meeting is, that it's not necessarily city related, but legislative conference for NACO in March, telecommunication technology, I'm vice chair on that. I had wanted to get room reservation so that before it's booked, like we dealt with last year, and I need permission from the board to do that. I believe I'd be the only one representing the county for NACO after next year, unless they get someone assigned.
It won't be here, and it won't be this board.
Yeah.
So.
But as far as, I mean, I could revisit it after the first of the year, but in order to make a reservation, I need permission of the board.
If we made a reservation, we can always cancel it. Correct.
True. Yeah, I'm fine with it. I think the 2 o'clock meeting may be a little bit more.
I can bring it back up there.
I
just.
I think I said the last time when you went, you need to make this in a successive thing. You don't just go one and done, because then you don't depreciate your effectiveness. So going back in March or February, it makes sense. So it's not.
Well, let's talk about that stuff during another legal. Okay. Anything else?
That way, you're not surprised.
Is there any fire and forest management information that you guys have? Because I know that all politicians running for office are talking about it until November 6th, but I want to know what happens on November 7th and January, because now that we've all talked about it and realize that really something has to give, you know, is there going to be the follow through on getting, not whether it's a seat at the policy table or, you know, whatever pressure could come to bear, but it just seems like everybody's talking about it, everybody's concerned about it, and I really think it'd be a disservice to drop that ball rounding this corner.
So Thursday is a meeting with the Rogue Valley Fire Chiefs Association. It's their after action report meeting. I'll be there all morning. And then Commissioner Boyce from Curry County and I, with the flare up the Klondike has had in the last couple weeks, Agnes, the town of Agnes was evacuated, various things like that. So it's still affecting them. So they're still actively in the fire. And so our intent was to pull together commissioners from Coos, Douglas, Curry, Jackson, and Josephine with the BLM Forest Service as soon as, probably we'd be aiming for, I'm going to say the week after Thanksgiving, honestly, because we're going to be at AOC the second week, and I don't know that we could pull it off by next week. So, I mean, we can try the election week, but...
No, but it's more after that I'm worried about.
But they're still in it, so now we have to pull those meetings together and say, okay, we have 8 months till next fire season. No, it's year-round now, so so Commissioner Boyce and I have been in contact about getting that meeting pulled together.
Excellent answer.
Policy-wise, your conversation, these were 40-year-long sagas of going the wrong direction. If you think that you're going to, I mean, and I'm telling anybody, including myself at this table,
right,
who served on Governor Kitzhaber's ONC task force, I've been on the ONC board for 8 years, I've been public lands chair and served on the National Association of Counties, and I lobbied in D.C. It's everybody coming together. It's not just one person. And you really need to know the story. It takes time. It takes energy and dedication. But if you say something that isn't quite right to the people who know and matter, your credibility is, you know, and I've done those. I've said those things.
Sure.
You know, but it's a couple of cue cards of 500 million board feet, and our annual sale quantity down here is 38.5, and it should be much, much higher. It should be closer to 100 million board feet for the sustained yield. It takes dedication and some time to get there.
Oh, man. But you've already got it out of the gate, so we just don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
We don't want it to
go
away with you.
Keep that momentum going, because we're at that, I think Commissioner DeYoung put it, it's either going to happen in this administration, because the lawsuit is going to, we're going to be successful. It's going to tell the administration, the agency, you're going to have to go back and you're going to have to write a plan that abides by this act.
Right.
You're going to have an administration that's willing to do that,
mm-hmm,
or they're going to languish and say, well, I've got 10 years. I mean, the Western Oregon Plan Revision took 5 years, cost $17 million. There's nothing in the act, there's nothing anywhere that says that they couldn't spend 10 years, $30 million developing an act and living on the one they have right now until they get a new one.
Oh, man.
So it's the mentality of the administration that's going to change it.
I just had one more topic I wanted to ask you guys about, but I don't want to pull you off of this one. I understand you guys had a presentation or ask about cat population issues.
Mm-hmm.
My memory is the county or the city code doesn't consider cats pets. And so
we don't have a limit on the number. Yeah.
So as far as getting cats registered, that would have a bearing, I think, on the wording in the city code would maybe need to be adjusted that acknowledges cats as ownership or that kind of stuff, so that you can have that process.
Cats, whether they feel owned.
Yeah.
The cats people. But we are applying for grants for that mobile clinic, because right now the cost of fixing and rehoming and all that is exorbitant.
Yeah.
And the local vets are also all full. So if it is something the city wants as a priority, it might be that something you guys can partnership with us in funding the mobile vet that can get that job done.
And there is a real distinct difference between a cat and a dog. You can keep a dog in the yard, you're not going to keep a cat anywhere.
I hear you.
You can register it, you can footprint him, you can do whatever you want, but that cat is going to go where that cat wants to go.
Yep.
In the conversation with the cat, you say, well, yeah, we have a cat leash law in Grants Pass. No, you don't. And, you know, so that's a hard thing to do.
I don't disagree, but it was an ask of our city council.
Into feral cats.
Yeah. Well, and we suggested a possible funding stream would be to start licensing cats And most people kind of look at you and go, I don't even own any cats, not those three on the back porch.
Mm-hmm. I just feed those because they were in the neighborhood.
There's enough good people that would, and it might be some funding and could start something. And they were saying they had a change in the law of the chipping. The size of the needle is no longer surgery, so that they can do it now.
Yeah.
And so they could offer that service as part of the licensing, which so many people would like.
A lot of nonprofits are kind of, and we are applying for grants to partner with those nonprofits to try to get there if we get approved in the grants. However, the there's still an issue of who owns it, who's responsible for it. The dog licensing is by state law. Right. And so the cat licensing might be something else. So I will follow up with y'all, but I just thought I'd bring it up since I was liaison for public health. So
no, and I think the city would be interested in the conversation.
Sure.
Of helping fund something like the spay and return or whatever that little program was.
Yeah.
Because there is we have quite an effect on the county. In that regard.
And the feral populations are a concern.
Uh huh.
So.
Okay. So with that,
thank you.
Yes, have a great rest of the day.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Adjourned at 12:01.
Appreciate it.
I don't really know the answer to that.